What I'd like to do this morning is call our attention to the great 12th chapter of Revelation, and I want us to consider Christmas from above. What did Christmas look like from God's perspective? How was the board set, and how were the players moving on a cosmic scale? What did it mean in terms of the kingdom of God, in terms of heaven and hell and the earth, that Christ came? Revelation 12 is a powerful chapter. It's a chapter that tells a story about a woman who is to give birth and a great red dragon who waits, lies in waiting, hoping to destroy the child that she gives birth to. It's an untraditional passage. Again, as I say, let me give you an example of the kind of thing I mean. From 1805 to 1810, William Blake, who, if you don't know his name, many of you will know his name, of course, but if you don't know his name, you'll know his paintings, the series of watercolors he did. He had a very distinctive style of painting. But from 1805 to 1810, William Blake painted what were called the Great Red Dragon paintings. Let me show a couple of them to you here. The first is called The Great Red Dragon and the Woman Clothed with the Sun. Now, if you're a movie person, you'll recognize that from Thomas Harris's book, The Red Dragon. That's the prequel to Silence of the Lambs. Some of you are thinking, this is not the Christmas sermon I thought it would. But this is my point. No one thinks about putting that on a Christmas card. But that's a direct scene from Revelation 12. The light, it kind of gets bleached out a little bit, but that is the great red dragon described in Revelation 12. He's standing over the woman who is about to give birth. Here's another Blake painting in that series, The Great Red Dragon of Revelation 12. Now, if you were to get that in the mail, let's say one of your children get it. I mean, they're so intense that I actually debated whether or not to show them, because inevitably when I try to make a point like this, one of you will email and say, that's a little intense for children. I get that, but it's in the Bible. So there's that. But this is a scene. I mean, if your child got that on a Christmas card from their teacher, Merry Christmas, you would think, good grief, what is happening here? It's not the typical image, but what I want to show you this morning is that is a Christmas scene when Christmas is seen from above looking down. What was happening on the cosmic scene when Christ was born? I'll give you just one more image. This is from a woodcut in the Bible from 1682. This is called the Bible Hydra. This is a depiction of Revelation chapter 12. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like for you to walk out of here with two general ideas. First of all, that the story of Christmas is told in a portion of Scripture that we often don't think about, Revelation 12. But more importantly, I want you to think about what it means on the big scale, the big screen, that Christ has come. So I'd like to make three points to you this morning. The first is this. Number one, the devil hated the coming of Jesus and was determined to destroy him at all costs. The devil hated the coming of Jesus and was determined to destroy him at all costs. Douglas Webster said this, Jesus' birth excites more than wonder, it excites evil. John impresses upon us the real meaning of Christmas. God defeats the enormous red dragon with a baby, who is Christ the Lord. John's nativity scene gives us the meaning of the manger. So look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, stop right there. It is going to be very easy for you to think, and it's understandable, that the woman represented in Revelation 12 is the Virgin Mary. And the interesting thing about trying to interpret some of these figurative images, symbolic images in Revelation chapter 12 is that it can be hard to do. This is about a woman who is giving birth to the Christ, and a dragon is waiting to consume the Christ. But the question of the identity of the woman, I want to say two things about it. First of all, it's highly disputed the question of who she is supposed to represent. And secondly, in terms of our purposes here, it does not matter. Revelation chapter 12 is clearly about the coming of Christ. The vast majority of the early church fathers interpreted the woman clothed with the sun as actually a picture of the ideal people of God, that through the people of God and the lineage of his people, God brought forth a Savior. The problem was saying that the woman in Revelation 12 is necessarily Mary, though I would always stop short of saying that it's not. The problem with saying that it is that it presents kind of cosmic imagery that's not consistent with our picture of Mary. She's standing on the sun, she has the moon under her feet, on her head a crown of 12 stars, which is traditionally understood to be a sign of Israel, that this is the people of God. I'll remind you as well that in the Gospels, for instance, in John's letters, he refers there are times when the church is referred to or seems to be referred to as a great woman, these kinds of things. So probably what we have here is imagery. But again, it doesn't really matter. What we do know is this is a picture of the coming of Christ, however you interpret the woman. Verse 2, she was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. Again, you might say, well, that's clearly Mary, but understand that many, many of the early church fathers interpreted that as the suffering of God's people. That for years, the people of God cried out in agony, waiting for deliverance. And that out of his people, this is why Matthew begins with a genealogy, from the people of God, God brings a Savior. She was pregnant and was crying out in birth pains and the agony of giving birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads, 7 diadems. If you want to Google image this, just don't. It's just weird the way people have tried to depict this. It's a terrifying enough image as it is. So John sees a sign in the heavens. A woman, she's standing on the moon, she's clothed with the sun, she has 12 stars on her head, and then a great red dragon appears over here. And the woman is about to give birth, and the dragon wants the baby. I love this, by the way. This is high drama. This is so much more compelling than the kind of saccharine, sweet, tepid expression of Christmas that we have so often. There were cosmic things happening when Jesus was born. The dragon was there waiting to consume the child. The devil was there in all his fury. The devil hates the coming of Christ. And John says, another sign appeared. Behold, a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Some people interpret that to mean that that's where we get demons, that Revelation 12:4 is a reference to the other fallen angels that are cast down and are fall and they follow Satan or turned into demons, whatever. Some people just see it as an expression of the cosmic havoc that the devil, the great red dragon, causes in the world. His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it. The dragon waits to eat this child. Brothers and sisters in Christ, with all of the beauty of this season, please remember this. There is a great evil in the universe who hates nothing more than the fact that God took on flesh, was born of the Virgin Mary, and became a baby. The great red dragon waits, John says. He is wanting to consume this child. He wants to destroy God's plan before it even gets started. He opposes it. This is why it's always a little bit humorous to me to hear people talk about the war on Christmas, by which they mean that someone at Target said happy holidays. Let me say this carefully. Look, I say Merry Christmas. I love Merry Christmas. I think you should say Merry Christmas. But can I say something to you? Just relax a little bit. There is a war on Christmas. It involves a great red dragon in the heavens wanting to eat Jesus. This makes what your Target cashier says to you a little less significant. It means that there are forces at work seeking to destroy everything God's wanting to do. This is the war on Christmas. That beneath the surface, behind the scenes, when you have Joseph, Mary, the baby, the shepherds are there, the angels singing, all of that beneath the scene, there are amazing things happening. The devil wishes to destroy all that God wants to do. She gave birth to a male child, though, in verse 5. One who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. This is Jesus, the Lord. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now, as with every single passage in Revelation, this is contested and disputed. What does this mean? But I would just like to say that I agree with those people who say that in verse 5 of Revelation 12, right there, you have the entirety of the life and work of Jesus. It's not saying, I mean, it's an image. You've got to follow the image that the dragon wants to eat the child, but that God catches his son up. This is probably a reference to the resurrection. This is probably an Easter reference in a Christmas text. That Christ is caught up to God and to his throne where Christ now reigns. He will come again. I want you to get the high drama of this moment. I love dramatic things. I got a buddy who told me I have very emotive tastes in music and in movies. But I like that. I like the scene. I like Braveheart. I like all that stuff. I like the guy in front of the troop saying, "This day we will die together." Well, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. I was never good at it. But I like Theoden King in The Lord of the Rings when he rides with his sword hitting the tips of all the spears of the riders of the Rohirrim. I'm showing my nerd card. Let me tell you something. I got a nerd card on this stuff. As they're about to charge down over the Pelennor Fields towards Minas Tirith and crash into the army of orcs. I'll see you at the Renaissance Fair. Whatever. The point is, I love those. I mean, the great drama, the moment when the battle comes and when the armies clash and when all this happens, this is the great moment that the devil has been wanting to destroy humanity and undo God's creation, but God in his love and power and mercy looks down on his frail planet and says, "I will send my son." And news of that reaches the devil. And he hates it. And so he lies in wait, the great red dragon, waiting to consume this child. He's pictured as standing before either the people of God or Mary, however you interpret that, and he's waiting to consume this child. He wants nothing more than to destroy Jesus. But God catches his son up. Death does not hold him. He comes out of the grave and he's caught up. He ascends to the Father where he waits at his right hand and will return one day to judge the quick and the dead. The devil hates the coming of Jesus. Secondly, this, being unable to thwart God's plan, the devil now attacks God's children. You gotta watch. I'm gonna take you through the whole chapter. This is awesome. I mean, this is like Christmas on adrenaline. This is what ought to happen. Where's Jana Bolding? I want to see Revelation 12 in next year's children's musical. Let's work that out. Had some of the kids come out as the dragon and be battles and smoke, and we can all be sitting there horrified. I'll be loving it. I'll just be eating popcorn. Here's the dragon. Kill the dragon. Kill the dragon. Merry Christmas. Being unable to thwart God's plan, the devil now attacks God's children. Watch verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she was placed before God, in which she has to be nourished, in which she is to be nourished for 1260 days. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. Once again, notice Satan is never depicted as fighting against God. Satan is not the opposite of God, as C.S. Lewis said. He's the opposite of Michael. He's an angel. Satan cowers before God. He dares to fight the angels, but he will not fight God.
One snap of the fingers and Satan is gone. He has to ask God permission. So the opposite of the devil is not God. That's what's called dualism. That's a different philosophy from Christianity. There is no equal opposite power to God. There is no yin and yang. There is no kind of cosmic karma. There is no settling of the scales. There's only God. And his creation, the devil, fights against his other creation, Michael. And I love this, the war in heaven. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. Guys, if I could give you one verse to memorize for this Christmas season, it would be Revelation 12:8a, the first few words. But he was defeated. We give the devil too much credence. He is a defeated foe. As we'll see, he's dangerous, but he is defeated. You can be free. The dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down. Then he defines who the dragon is, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then verse 12, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, meaning heaven is now pleased. They can rejoice. But watch, but woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. You ever seen in college football, it seems to be a recurring phenomenon, when a team is clearly beat and they get very frustrated and then they start a fight? You know what I'm talking about? And the announcers will almost always say, you know, they're frustrated. They're frustrated. And then they'll always say what they say way too much. Getting a little chippy down there. If I could ban any phrase from this planet, it would be college football announcers talking about it being chippy. Whoever says that? Never been in a deacon's meeting, getting a little chippy on that end of the room. It's just utterly absurd. That and the word parody. They need to remove it. A lot of parody in college football. We know. But the point is, like, defeated people can get frustrated and then can lash out in anger. I'm a South Carolina fan. I see it all the time. It's just this kind of sense of futility. Like, what can we do here? And that's the picture we have of the devil. That being defeated and knowing that the final buzzer is coming, he's lashing out in anger. Woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. And when the dragon, watch, and when the dragon saw that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child, but the woman was given the two wings of the great eagle so that she might fly from the serpent into the wilderness, to the place where she is to be nourished for a time and times and half a time. There's all kind of prophetic understanding of this in the Great Tribulation, these kinds of things. I'm just trying to give us an overview of what this is saying about the coming of Christ. The serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman to sweep her away with a flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured from his mouth. Then the dragon, watch this. Then the dragon became furious with the woman and went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, defined as those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus, and he stood on the sand of the sea. This is one of the reasons why it's problematic to call the woman Mary. The church is depicted as one of her children later on. So this is a picture of the people of God. So the picture is this, that having been defeated in heaven, Satan is now cast to earth. And being cast to earth, he is now enraged. And so not being able to defeat God, he will now try to harass and destroy the people of God. Merry Christmas. I'll never forget when my granddad came over to my house when I was 15 years old, and I said to him,
Granddaddy, I've been called to preach. I know it. I just feel it in my bones. I've been called to preach. And I'll never forget, he immediately grabbed my hand and said, oh God, protect him. The devil is going to try to destroy him, which was not what I thought was coming. I was kind of hoping for a card with $5 or something. But what I got was this kind of intense prayer that Satan is going to try to destroy me. Us, the people of God. What does this mean? It means that there's something happening behind the scenes, under the scene, like those pictures of icebergs when you see the little bit sticking up above the water and then this whole mountain hanging down below the waterline. This is the cosmic significance of Christmas. Maybe there's a reason why this is the time of year when many people are so very, very happy, but many other people are so very, very sad. This is a time that agitates the devil. And so I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want to say that, you know, presents and all that is bad. We do that. We do the presents and the tree and all of that. I love that. I think there's an appropriate and right and fun way to do that. I've never been a Puritan on that stuff. I encounter every now and then these dour Christian people who are like, we don't want our kids to have Christmas. And I'm like, oh, Moses on the mountain, man. Just eat a brownie and let your kid pull a Slim Jim out of a sock hanging over. I don't know, just give the kid something. I mean, you can love Jesus and not raise someone who's just going to be a miserable person to be around at parties. I mean, just kind of have a little joy. That's okay, that's fine. And yet, it is telling how distracting this season is from what matters, isn't it? Isn't it? I mean, the moment the presents do begin to get in the way, we remember that there's lots of ways that the red dragon tries to keep us from Jesus. And I think that's just something in Christian freedom that each of you have to figure out is, in this season, where is my heart? Methodius, the early church father, said, the great red dragon, cunning, wily, with seven heads and horned, that drags down the third part of the stars and lies in wait to devour the child of the woman in labor, is the devil who lies in ambush to abuse the mind of the illumined faithful who are Christ's possession and to destroy the clear image and representation of the word that has been begotten in them. I love it. I love it. George Eldon Ladd put it much more succinctly. Here is the ultimate purpose of Satan, to frustrate the work of Christ. Has the devil frustrated you this year? Has he gotten to you? I mean, we're Baptists, so we don't like a lot of fancy imagery. We want things to be simple and preferably something you can put on an index card and something without a lot of nuance or gray scale, not a lot of variation. We just want it kind of simple, but It might help us a little bit to listen to the Pentecostals and understand that there is a great red dragon seeking to eat and destroy you. It's okay to admit what Scripture says. There are terrifying things in the world because there is a terror loose in the world, but he is still a defeated terror. For Christ has won, and this is my third point. Number three, Jesus and his people have and will have victory over the devil. Jesus and his people have and will have victory over the devil. I mean, the point here isn't to make the great red dragon, the devil, look more terrifying. I mean, it's not tomorrow like you give your kid a G.I. Joe present, and they're unwrapping it, and they're like, ooh, I like this present. There's the great red dragon, that present. Nah, it's just a G.I. Joe figure. But be aware of the fact that the devil is always trying to move and can use anything to waylay us. Look back at verse 5. She gave birth to a male child, one who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The devil is a scavenger. The devil is a fraud. The devil distorts and perverts and accuses and destroys. But you follow a king who is on a throne, who has cast him down,
who cannot be touched by him, who will come again, who already has the victory, and who is more powerful than the red dragon ever could be. What an amazing thing. If you say, I'm afraid of the devil, I think you should fear what the devil might do and can do, and we should be aware of the limitations of human frailty and of the wiliness of the devil. But your King Jesus, who is within your heart, is stronger. Listen to me. Jesus is stronger than the dragon. I want to say this again because some of you are thinking about Chili's. Come back to me. Come back to me, children. We're almost there. We're almost there. Some of you are like, this feels like the Great Tribulation. I understand. Just imagine this. I can never get out of one of my sermons. I understand. But just think about this. Jesus is stronger than the dragon. The dragon trembles before your Jesus. Jesus has a rod of iron. He is the great champion. We stand behind our King. He does not send us forward without him. He is strong and mighty to save. He is the Christmas King who cannot be conquered. He is the Christ who casts the dragon down. The dragon trembles at the name of Jesus. And this is the name on the banner that we carry. This year coming up, you do not have to crawl through it cowering, you can take the name and walk in boldness and have victory because you follow the King who reigns. He has a throne and a rod of iron that is a symbol of strength. And he will not be defeated. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come down. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down. Do you hear this? The devil is cast to the earth, but what do we get? Salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. We are not left exposed, naked, weak, and cowering and afraid before the dragon. We have the authority and the name and the power of our God. And we have victory. Verse 11, and they have conquered him, watch, they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives unto death. They were willing to die with the one who defeats the dragon. My prayer for you this Christmas season is that you will hear the drums of war and know that what's happening behind the scene here is something awesome. The defeat and casting down of the devil, who, yes, hates God enough to want to destroy all of his creation, but the victory and the conquering name of Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and you do not have Jesus, it's not just that you won't be able to enjoy Christmas morning as much, it's that you'll miss the cosmic significance of it. I've mentioned before my friend who went to a parade in my hometown. It was a Christmas parade. He was in high school. I wasn't there, but he told me about this. So different people would put in different floats. And he said there was a church youth group that put in a float. And all the kids are on the float, right? And it's a little youth group float. And it's got like flyers and whatnot and confetti and whatnot. I don't know. And they're just going down the road. I'm just trying to envision little knuckleheads on a float going down Main Street. It just makes me smile. And you know what my friend said? He said this float goes by, you know. And he says, this woman next to him, she says, great, Now the Christians are getting into Christmas too. I love it. Some things are so unbelievably stupid they should be celebrated just because of the achievement of it. That's fantastic. What an unbelievable thing to say. It is our day because it is our King. We are happy to share it, but it is our day. You are welcome to be a part of it, but it is our day. However, you could be a part of the hour and bow before the King and become a part of the family of God and realize and see that the shackles of the devil have been removed from your life and that you are free. You are free. The dragon has been cast down, and while he makes a lot of noise, he is a defeated foe. Stay close to your King, Jesus. Merry Christmas. Pray with me.